Homily 5. Epiphany as political dynamite. We the Magi saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When I was a boy, my father's explanation of the different constellations in the night sky always brought me great joy. And we both loved the brilliant planet Venus, but found the planet, the red planet, Mars, eerie. Years later, it delighted me no end to show my nieces and nephew, and later, my grandnieces and grandnephew, the constellations in the night sky. I had the great blessing to be awed by the night sky in an Australian desert, and by the extraordinary Aurora Borealis, both in the skies of Michigan, the Upper Peninsula, and in the Alaskan wilderness. Much publicity was given to the no-show Comet Kohoutek in 1973, and then the 1997 comet Hale-Bopp that led the Heaven's Gate cult to commit suicide in the hope that they would reach a higher level of existence in the extraterrestrial spaceship that was allegedly following the comet. The night sky also fascinated the people of the ancient world, who carefully observed the stars and the planets, even giving each one a very particular meaning. They believed that everything, Earth and the heavens, were interconnected. Thus, when something important was about to happen on Earth, you would expect to see it reflected in the heavens. The Gospels of the past several weeks contain an angelic epiphany, revelation, of course, to the Virgin, that she is to bear God's very own Son. To her husband Joseph, that his wife-to-be is pregnant with no less than Emmanuel, God with us. To the shepherds, that the Savior Messiah is to be found in a manger. To Simeon, that he now sees the very consolation of Israel. To Anna, who knows that the child Jesus is Jerusalem's Redeemer. Despite a cartoonist's claim this week, the bright light that fascinated the pagan astrologer Magi was not a surface-to-air missile fired from a fighter bomber. It was likely the conjunction of the planets Jupiter, Mars, and Saturn. The Jews considered Jupiter to be the royal or kingly planet. Saturn was sometimes thought to represent the Jews. It was obvious. A new king of the Jews was about to be born. So, pagan astrology of the three wise men, made precise by the Jewish scriptures. Now, you would think the rich Magi would have had a GPS. This all pointed to Bethlehem of Judea. They, Gentiles, pagans, would find and worship the true king, not only of the Jews, but also of the world. Jesus is about to be revealed to the larger non-Jewish world. The gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were what people in the ancient world thought appropriate for kings and even gods. Not mentioned in the Gospels, however, is the fourth Magi who brought a fruitcake, and the three wise women who brought casseroles, Pampers, and baby formulas. Shortly before he died, the atheist Christopher Hitchens said that babies are cute. They threaten no one. So Christmas really has no meaning. But the story of the Magi visiting Jesus is political nitroglycerin. This gospel makes clear that Jesus is the true king of the Jews. Herod is the imposter. And that even the claims of divinity by the great Caesar Augustus are bogus. So, the shadow of the cross falls already across Jesus' head. He's born with a price on his head. Plots are hatched. An angel must warn Joseph, who whisks Mary and the baby away just in time from Bethlehem. Herod the Great, who did not hesitate to kill members of his own family, including his own beloved wife, because he suspected them of scheming against him, who gave orders when dying that the leading citizens of Jericho should be slaughtered so that there would be people weeping at his funeral. This Herod thought nothing of killing all the babies of an entire village in case one of them should be regarded as the true king. Just as Pharaoh had ordered the killing of all male babies born to the enslaved Jews in Egypt. And in the ISIS of our day, Al-Qaeda, the Boko Haram, and others, they have no qualms about killing even babies. This story also points ahead to the climax of the gospel, where Jesus will finally come face to face with Caesar's subordinate Pilate, the representative of the world's greatest emperor. Pilate will have rather different gifts to give Jesus, though he too is warned by his wife in a dream not to do anything to him. Yet Pilate gets one thing right. He had a sign put on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, the King of the Jews." His soldiers are the first Gentiles since the Magi to call Jesus King of the Jews. Mockingly, of course, for they crown him with thorns and give him a cross as his throne. At that moment, instead of a bright star, the sun, darkness falls upon the earth. And then we hear a pagan centurion utter an incredible truth. This man truly was the Son of God. And within a generation, Jesus' followers would be persecuted by the Roman Empire and by later empires, large and small, as we find with ISIS and other brutes in our own day. We had a Congolese Jesuit here at Boston College getting his doctorate who fully expects one day to be killed by his government. So what nonsense that Christianity is a private matter that has nothing to do with politics. Jesus was a first century Palestinian Jew whose central message focused on the kingdom of God, not universal love, as one often hears. And the kingdom of God for Jesus, as it was for the Jews, is very much of this world with strong political overtones. Jesus did not say, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "My kingdom is not from this world." How can thy kingdom come on earth, a kingdom where justice and love must reign, have nothing to do with this world and with politics? So, with the Magi, let us this morning resolve to know, love, and serve the world's true light and king, and resolve to change our lives, as Isaiah wrote, "Walk by his light, and like the Magi, go back by a different route."